Hi everyone, this is Michael Bellina, and here is your quick tip for today. I want to talk about five ways to get in front of your target audience. Now, you've done your research and crafted a message that will truly resonate with your target audience. Now, the next step is delivering that message to your audience. Well, there are plenty of options to choose from to get in front of your target audience, but some of these include search engine optimization, Google AdWords, social media ads, and even chatbots for that matter. And this is by no means an exhaustive list. Choosing the one that works best for you really would depend on the target market, who your target market is, and what platforms they're comfortable with. So The one thing to consider is you don't have to choose one. You can use any combination of platforms to get in front of your target audience. The key is choosing the right ones. Now, here's what I've done. I've compiled a list of five ways to get in front of your audience, and I lay out the benefits and some of the drawbacks. So let's get started. First one is search engine optimization. That's being found when they search. Now, search engine optimization is the process of optimizing your site with content that will make it relevant to appear in search results when someone searches for a particular product or service. SEO, as it's called, that's a shortened name, has advanced to the point where Google will try to predict what you're looking for based on the information that they have about you. Now, before you get all freaked out, you know, most of this data is anonymous, so they're not going to pick out you per se. They just know you as the user, and it's pretty much that's the extent of it. Now, the benefits of SEO are appearing in the search results doesn't cost any money. It's basically free, and by free, I mean that you don't have to pay to be there. Now, Google places you in the results, so it's kind of up to them. However, you may have to pay someone or some company to update your site based on what search terms that you want to appear. The issue is that there are plenty of others that do the same thing, and there are around 10 spots that on the first page, and competing can be quite fierce to get in on one of those 10 spots on the first page. Now, there are plenty of theories on how Google places websites in their search results. Now, if asked, Google is not going to tell you exactly how you do it, but they do give you guidelines to follow. SEO companies and experts have experimented with different techniques to see, if they gain some insight, but at least in my opinion, it's just pretty much a guessing game. There are some standard practices that you could follow on your own, and particularly in the overall structure of the site. One thing that I could tell you for sure is that if you're not getting any traffic to your website, it will be very hard to appear at the top of the search pages. So, but we'll get into driving traffic a little bit later. The next item is Google AdWords. Now, that's when you kind of get in their face when they search. Now, Google AdWords tends to be the first choice for many to get in front of their audience. Well, at the very least, it's the most widely known. The great thing about Google AdWords is that it appears at the top of the search engine results page before anything else. The issue with Google AdWords is that it could be expensive, particularly if you are competing for popular search terms, like SEO, for example. The way Google AdWords works is it's an auction for the top spot on the page. You bid against others, and the winner takes the top spot. The rest of the field is placed based on the bid amounts. You could set a maximum bid amount in a daily budget, but as competition increases, the price per bid to be at the top steadily increases as well. Ads in AdWords has a specific structure and character count. Over the years, they've added additional features and extensions that supplement the ad. Some are free, some others have a fee. Some of these include like a clickable phone number, featuring products. You can feature products, your services, links to other pages on your site. They also allow you to create dynamic ads based on the search terms of the page. So they do give you plenty of options to get in front of your audience. Now, before an ad starts appearing, it needs to be approved by Google. So, and they have guidelines on what you can say and promise in your ad. They do have an appeal process, which you could use that in case they kind of misconstrue your message. In many cases, the appeal process does get the ad does get approved. In some cases, you may have to reword the ad. Overall, the ad placement is pretty straightforward for them and for you. To place an ad, you just need to choose the search terms in which your ad will appear, and Google will recommend, you know, how much you should bid. Now, you shouldn't have to bid. You shouldn't have to. Don't have to bid that much. In some cases, you don't need to, you know, that much to be in the first position. You only get charged when someone clicks on the ad. So depending on how often a term appears in a search determines how expensive the bid needs to be. You know, one or two word searches tend to be higher in price than the longer phrases. And there's a boatload of strategies on how to maximize your return on your investment. For our purposes, though, I just wanted to kind of give you an overview of the pluses and minuses and how it works. SEO and AdWords are great tools to get in front of your audience if your audience is searching for you or your product. Now, what if they have no idea that your product exists? And, you know, it exists. You may have to get in front of your audience in other ways. Now, and this is kind of where social media ads come in. Now, social media ads, which is the third thing on our list, you know, it's where you can get in front of your audience when they're not looking for you. Now, social media ads are a part of the social media feeds of their users. Now, how did they get there? Well, you place the ad based on demographics of your target audience. For example, if your target is men 45 to 60 that live in the state of New Jersey who have an income of over $100,000, who are interested in sports, TV, you know, you could place ads only based on those individuals, and only those individuals will see your ad in their feeds. It's pretty cool. You can also place ads based on past visitors of your website or your customers. You can upload the list to the social media platform of your choice, and they will find others that are similar or what they call lookalike audiences. And they, what they do is they display your ad to individuals that fit that criteria. The ads are for social media are a bit more flexible than Google AdWords, mostly because they're in a user's feed. There isn't much of a need to squeeze them in a small amount of space. Now, they do have character limits restrictions. You can't kind of go on forever. And they do have content restrictions. So, like AdWords, the ads that you place in social media will need to be approved before they begin appearing in people's feeds. You know, for any advertisement that ends up getting, you know, rejected, you can file an appeal. In most cases, they say, oh, okay, and they kind of let it go. In some cases, again, you may have to rework the ad. The big downside of social media ads is that people aren't looking for your product or service, so the clicks and conversion rates are much lower. You may also run into people who's seeing your ad just checking out and just want to see what you're all about. So, which is one of the reasons why, you know, your conversion rates are pretty low, because you get a lot of clicks, but not a lot of people clicking through and, you know, making a purchase. Like AdWords, you could choose to be billed by the click. However, you probably need several impressions per person to get them to take action. And like any platform on the internet, there are plenty of techniques to get in front of your audience. One thing to consider is that all these platforms are continually updating and getting smarter, which is a benefit to the consumer and also the advertiser. These days, you know, we live in a world today where we expect an immediate response to questions, requests, texts, phones, emails, whatever. More and more websites are using chatbots to help visitors that come to their website with any questions they may have. Chatbots have the advantage over contact forms because they are, you know, they're immediate response mechanisms. It encourages the visitor to stay on the page just a little bit longer and answer some questions that they may have, and ultimately you may convince them to make a purchase. Initially, chatbots were work of programmers. Now there are a variety of chatbot applications out there where you could create a chatbot by basically dragging and dropping questions and answers in a logical order. One in particular I like is called ManyChat. And this one's great because it integrates with Facebook Messenger. I love this application because it uses an automated chatbot, but it can push the conversation to your Facebook Messenger for real-time interaction. So you can get the message right on your phone, and you could chat with someone while you're sitting in the airport, basically. Another one I recommend is a chatbot that HubSpot hosts. Now, you do have to have a paid plan with HubSpot in order for this to work, But I do like this one because it does integrate with a CRM, which is a customer retention management system. And so you could actually remarket to visitors down the road. So how do they work, and do you need to learn programming to build one? Well, technically building a chatbot is relatively easy. Most interfaces, you know, they contain modules that you could drag into place and order them how you want them to appear. The interface tells you what text to enter and any options you may want, you know, with that module based on the interactions or additional questions or something like that. That's the easy part, believe it or not. The hard part is coming up with the flow of questions. For a chatbot to work, there needs to be a sequence of questions and answers. The hard part is you have to anticipate the problems that, you know, and have those answers ready. In the end, you'll have a flow chart, basically, of questions that lead to solutions that could lead to other questions and other answers. You know, in setting up an adequately structured chatbot, you know, that could be a whole podcast in and of itself. But I wanted to kind of mention it here because they're not as technically overwhelming as you may think. Like I said, the hard part is coming up with the flow of questions. And the good thing about all of these chatbot programs is that eventually they could push you off to, basically a contact form or something like that. When you get to a certain point, basically a dead end, where it's like, okay, you need to like talk to a real person. And they kind of shift the user through to that option. So the key takeaway, though, is that, you know, if your target audience is diverse, you don't want to limit yourself to one or two ways to engage them. Also, this is not, as I said at the beginning, it's not an exhaustive list of options. It's more like a kind of start with the basics approach to reaching your target audience. Within each of these platforms, there's a myriad of options that you can employ that have them, you know, basically you could target your audience more effectively just by, you know, a little tweak here, a little tweak there, a little tweak here, that sort of thing. Also, you don't want to use all of them because you need, you know, you want a diverse strategy, but what you really want to do is you want to make sure that you use the ones that's got the platforms that are going to, you know, they're going to deliver the message most effectively. Because there's nothing worse than kind of a half-assed implementation of a marketing platform. You know, it's a great way to waste money, time, and, you know. However, you know, I'm not discouraging you from experimenting. You know, an excellent digital marketing strategy delivers the right message to the right people at the right time. And for every business, that can mean something a little bit different. What you need to do is you need to decide what works best for you. And I encourage you not to just kind of sit back and wait for your audience to come to you. I encourage you to get out there and start marketing to them. And that's my podcast for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to connect with me on a myriad of platforms. You can reach my blog at MigmanMedia.com. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on Instagram, and I also have a YouTube channel as well. So just kind of search Migman Media and you'll come up with all of those and just click the one that you want the best. So again, I hope you enjoyed it and I'll talk to you again real soon.